The Man in the Iron Mask.
An adaptation of Alexandre Dumas' famous novel, specially written for radio by Eric Scott, and a George Edwards production. A special welcome has been planned in the Hall of Mirrors for the Infanta Maria Theresa. And the king and his confidant Letellier decide that Edmund shall now begin his masquerade as king. If this masquerade is successful, the real king can steal away from Paris without any worry. However, neither realize that a plot is being hatched to bring about the king's death on this very night. Near the River Seine, in the back room of a squalid inn, two men plot.
The first dance. It is then that we strike.
Once again, congratulations, François. Your men are well picked.
Seven of the best swordsmen in France, and each one with an invitation.
Yeah, but how did you manage that?
I have friends inside the court. We will have to pay them well, but then we will reap our own reward once the king is dead.
You mentioned something about the first dance.
Yes, Cadet. The king arrives first at the ball. He takes his place on the throne. Then comes the Infanta. Shortly afterwards, the music strikes up. Everybody, of course, will be waiting for the king to step the measure in the dance. He will lead out the Spanish Infanta, and as they pass the fountain...
Fountain?
Yes, there is a fountain near the archway which leads to the ballroom. As he passes there, my men will be stationed ready with their swords. Then, when he's on the floor, cut to pieces, we will make a rush for the side doors. It will be all over in a matter of a few seconds.
So came the evening of the ball for the Infanta. In the king's private rooms, instead of the usual 40 or 50 attendants rushing around the king, dressing him for this ceremonious occasion, we find only three people in these apartments. They are the king himself, hardly recognizable in a strange wig and beard, his confidant Letellier, and his twin Edmund Marchiali, who at this moment is almost unrecognizable as he stands in a powder blue doublet and hose, with diamonds glittering across his chest, his fingers, and his shoe buckles. His wig is new and beautifully curled, and rubies stud the handle of a highly polished ceremonial sword which hangs at his waist. Letellier and the king eye him critically.
Gad, oh, this is a transformation, Letellier. I begin now to lose a little of my self-respect.
Your self-respect, Your Majesty?
Yes. All these years I've been told that there is no one like me, the king. Yet here is the king before us. Play your part well, my dear Edmund. Otherwise, you know the penalty.
I will do what I can, Your Majesty. But this is an ordeal. All your subjects, your ambassadors, your friends, I must meet them all, speak with them as though I know them. What you ask me to do is almost impossible.
Oh, my dear Edmund, you make it sound difficult when you talk in this way. I might inform you that I, as the king, very often ignore my ambassadors and my courtiers. After all, I can do what I like. You have but to follow my example.
But your closest friends?
The people whom you must recognize are the cardinal, my mother, whom you've met before, and my wife to be. Take care of those three, and the rest will look after themselves.
Besides, you will have me at your elbow. I shall tutor you. I shall tell you who is who. Tonight is lesson night.
And what about you, Your Majesty? This disguise of yours?
Not a very good disguise. This wig fits loosely and the beard is execrable, but it'll serve its purpose. Besides, I think it would be rather amusing to be able to walk among my courtiers to listen to what they have to say. Perhaps I might pick up a plot or two. Who knows? Turn round, Edmund. Let me see the back of you. Gad, he holds himself like a king, too. Letellier is amazing.
But he has not your walk, Your Majesty. If you would try that walk again, Monsieur.
Yes, Monsieur Letellier.
No, 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 the king does not walk like that. Be more indolent, be at your ease.
Ah, that's better.
Your Majesty, to look upon this man, I truly believe that your plot will be successful. No one will know, unless he opens his mouth and says too much.
If he says too much, his mouth will soon be closed. He knows that.
Just remember the mask, my dear Edmund. Then you will guard your words.
Keep still, Your Highness.
But this dress is so tight, Louisa.
You have always been used to loose-fitting robes. One more clip, and then the dress is done up. There. Why, Your Majesty, your waist is quite small.
Is it, Louisa?
Such a tiny waist. And what a beautiful gown. The king has very good taste.
Oh, but Louisa, the shoulders are bare, and the back, there's no back to the dress.
Turn around. Let me see your face, your figure from the front. Oh, Your Highness,
what is the matter?
Why, you look wonderful. You look a queen already.
A queen?
Your Highness, never have I seen you look so beautiful. Somehow the line of the dress, the small waist, the whiteness of your arms and your neck and your shoulders, the rubies around your neck. Oh, Your Highness, I never realized it before. You are a beautiful woman.
Beautiful? Oh, not I, Louisa. Nobody ever raved about me as a beauty in Spain.
But somehow this dress, it makes all the difference.
Oh, what does it matter anyway? To be beautiful or to be ugly? My fate has been decided. That bawdy, drunken king and I. Oh, Louisa, I wish I were home. Instead, tonight a fresh ordeal. A ball to welcome the Infanta of Spain.
So many carriages drove to Versailles. The richest and the most powerful families in the country, all to pay homage to the frightened little woman who was to become their queen. Some of these had seen the Infanta on her two other brief public appearances, and they talked of the ugly Spanish princess. But tonight they were to be surprised. For how can a princess look a princess when she dresses like a serving woman? Tonight they would see a transformation. At the fateful hour of nine, all the guests had arrived. The cardinal was there, and the queen mother, and all the greatest families of France. The hall of mirrors glittered with a million candlelights, and the diamonds and the emeralds and the rubies on the women flashed back their vivid colors. Then suddenly the trumpets called. And now the opening of the great wide doors and the entry of the king. Let us follow this king closely. For here is Edmund Marchiali, walking the walk of the king, looking the look of the king, but intent upon only one object, the throne on the other side of this great room. As he walks slowly through the laneway of courtiers and subjects, they all bow low, giving much the effect of a wave rolling through this great hall. And now he is mounting the steps to the throne, his attendant Vitellier beside him. Now he has seated himself. The courtiers are relaxing, talking amongst themselves. And Edmund, from his vantage point, is looking down on this great crowd in amazement.
They don't know. They don't know, Vitellier.
Of course they don't, Majesty. How could they? To all intents and purposes, you are the king.
I can't see my brother.
Nor can I at the moment. But look, that is Cardinal Mazarin, isn't
it? Oh, yes, I recognize him. Since he knows the secret of our likeness, perhaps he might recognize me.
Oh, that's impossible, Your Majesty, for I can't myself.
Listen.
That would be the Infanta. She's arrived. When she walks through to the steps below the throne, motion her to sit beside you.
A woman's intuition is dangerous. She may guess.
Not the Infanta. She's the most unintelligent woman I've ever seen. The king agrees with me. She is also hideous to look upon.
Did you say hideous to look upon? Why, Letellier, this vision in red coming towards me. She's beautiful.
Mon Dieu, is that the Infanta? Oh, but yes, it is. Why, she has a figure.
And her shoulders like alabaster. What's the matter with my brother that he complains about herself? except for my own love. I've never seen one as beautiful as this woman.
She's made her curtsy.
Tell her to rise, dearest.
Rise, Maria Theresa. Sit here with me.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
Excuse me, Your Majesty. One of the courtiers has just motioned me. A gentleman with a beard and a rather loose wig. You understand, Your Majesty?
Yes, Letellier. You may go.
You look very beautiful tonight, Maria.
I want no compliments from you, thank you.
No compliments? But why not? Every woman likes a compliment.
Not every woman. And a woman likes a compliment least from a man whom she despises.
Despises? Are you telling me that you despise me?
Yes, Your Majesty. Even at the risk of danger to myself, I can tell you now that I will never forgive you for the way you behaved last night.
Last night?
I married you for reasons of state, but I will loathe you for the rest of my life. You are a fop and a puppet and a drunkard, and your mind is bawdy. Isn't it time you asked me to dance?
To dance?
I was instructed in the fact that you and I were to have the first dance. The music has already started. The courtiers are waiting expectantly for us to walk to the floor and begin. Do we do our duty now? Or are you thinking of some fresh way to humiliate me?
Madame, I'm so surprised that I almost forgot my duty. May I have the honor of this dance?
Rising to his feet, the king offers his arm, and once again the courtiers make a laneway as the king slowly leads the Infanta down the steps and across the floor towards the ballroom. But danger lurks by the fountain which they will pass any minute from now, for seven stalwart men stand nonchalantly fingering their swords as they wait. Make sure you hear the next exciting chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.